Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praises are Allah's, Lord of the worlds. And may His peace and blessings be upon our Master, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, and His pure, immaculate Ahlul Bayt. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Inshallah, all your a'mal, your du'as, supplications be accepted before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've been very patient these last few days with the speeches. From tonight, I will be open for question and answers, inshallah. Either together, separately, or I don't mind. But I had to be some time. You had to first absorb a few data before we could then go into the question and answers. I think you've absorbed enough already. Okay. So, in the next 2 days, I'm going to speak about Barzakh. And then after that, I'll be speaking for 3 days, inshallah, on visions and apparitions. That's going to be the layout, inshallah. And 80% of what I'm about to say, you may be able to find on YouTube. There's a 20% new information, everything, but you can find most of it on YouTube. In Islam, graves, there are many types of graves in Islam, and they're all, these different types of graves have been extracted and extrapolated from the traditions. It's not just a willy-nilly classification, it's based on some verses or traditions. One is the, which be you a Muslim or a non-Muslim, we all believe in, is the physical grave. That's the grave that we'll be buried in. And that's the grave that the Sharia speaks about. It's the fiqhi grave. And that's not the real grave though. It's something in this world, something which the Sharia speaks about, but it's not the real grave, that which, well, I'll come to the real grave in a minute. It's the figurative grave. Because the body, the physical body from death onwards, will be of no use to us. So this can't be the real grave. It's a grave figure of speech, but it's one that the Sharia focuses on. Now you may ask, so why all these rulings in relation to the corpse? Why do we have to wash them so with etiquette and be very careful not to cause any disrespect to them? Why is that then? Why do we have to enshroud them with utmost etiquette once again? I mean, if it's nothing to do with us. There, the reason is because immediately after death, many people still have an affinity to this world, even though they're dead. And the eye, the barzakhi eye now, still thinks the body to which it is in association with is the physical corpse. It takes time for it to appreciate and acknowledge. Now, it has nothing to do with that. And that's why in the talqeen, a kind of, in English, I think they call it dirge, at the funeral when they utter formulae to the actual dead person, the Sharia says, look at the dead person, face the dead person and say, Isma, Ifham, hear me. Understand that La ilaha illallah, Muhammad, and so on and so forth. It's because, the reason the Sharia says that is because the dead person now, who's in the realm of Barzakh, due to that affinity he or she still has in this world, in the beginning, it's still, they think it's them. So just imagine if you cremate someone, that's going to cause a lot of horror to them. That's why we don't believe in that. We just believe in washing them with utmost etiquette, enshrouding them, and then gently burying them. The first night of the grave, things manifest. Then eventually they come out of that. They see the realities now. They see now that body is of no use. It's not me. They see the real body in the realm of Barzakh. Yes, And yes, okay. So that's the figurative grave. Then we have the real Irfani grave. And that's going to be the topic of our discussion. Where there, now the Mithari body is the grave. We'll come to that in a minute. There's just this third one, which the poets are very fond of. People like Rumi and others. And it's a valid classification that they have. Where the body, this physical body, is regarded as a grave. And the soul is imprisoned in it. And that's not, you know, in contradiction to any verses of the Holy Quran. And actually, it can be supported with verses of the Quran. And two verses I want to mention here in relation to the physical body being the grave. For living people, we're all living now. This body of ours is the grave. Here, in the Quran, when it's in relation to revelation and the philosophy behind revelation, in chapter 36, verse 70, it says, لِيُنذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيَّا. Revelations come to warn those who are alive. Okay? Now this حَيَّا is a specific life form, which is evident in a minute. وَيَحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. And the word will come down against the kafirin. Because they don't accept revelation. Those who accept revelation are regarded as high, and that's why revelation came. Their fitras were pure, they accept revelation. But the word, that same revelation, would go against the kafirin, because the kafirin don't accept revelation. Being alive, the kafir is alive, the Muslim's alive. But being alive is used horizontal to the kafir. So this is one form where the kafir isn't regarded as spiritually being alive. They've prohibited themselves in some way or form. And then in the next, in another verse, chapter 35:22, this becomes more evident. Inna Allaha yusmi'u may yasha. Allah makes those who want to hear, hear. Those who want to hear, Allah makes them hear. They will accept the truth. Because they strove in life. On the path, they made an effort, and Allah made them hear the truth. وَمَا بِمُسْمِئٍ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. But Allah won't make them hear. Make who not hear? Those who are in their graves. Allah won't make them hear. Now this is in relation to people, the kafirin, who are alive. They're living, but they're in their graves. Here, graves being that animal self, where now the body is, the eye is, you know, drowned in one's animal tendencies. And that's another form of grave. But the grave which we want to focus on now is Barzakh. This grave is Barzakh. And that's the real Irfani grave. The specialists of the Sharia, who only confine themselves to the Sharia, they don't have any fatwas in this realm. This is a different realm. It's outside their jurisdiction. It's outside the jurisdiction of fatwas now. This is Barzakh. And it is the grave. Now why do I say it is the grave? Because Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was asked, Mal Barzakh? What is Barzakh? And in his reply he said, Al Qabro. He said it's the grave. See, it's very explicit. Mundo hina mautihi ila yawm al qiyamah. It's the grave since the time of death until the day of Qiyamah, the day of resurrection. Now there's another tradition where the Ma'sum says, إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانُ فَهُوَ فِي قِيَامَتِهِ. When man dies, they are now in their Qiyamah. Qiyamah starts on death. Qiyamah starts on death. Two points have to be mentioned here. We have a physical Qiyamah and we have a spiritual Qiyamah. This is all in relation to spiritual Qiyamah. Nothing to do with physical Qiyamah. That is physical events in physical Qiyamah which affect the surface area of the earth. It's not that the whole earth will explode and be non-existent, no. But events will occur in relation to the surface area of the earth. And that's not what we're focusing on now. So it's a spiritual Qiyamah. Spiritual Qiyamah for each and every one of us starts when we die. Now, in Barzakh it said it starts from death until the day of Qiyamah. This shows Qiyamah has two forms. There's a minor Qiyamah, minor resurrection, and a major Qiyamah. Both are spiritual. Both are spiritual resurrections. And resurrections will be more evident, inshallah, during this talk. But one, the minor resurrection is Barzakh. It's a general resurrection. But the more refined and precise resurrection is the day of Qiyamah. Okay. Now the differences will be made evident, inshallah, within the next 2 days. Now, just a number of facts that I want to mention. Some of these I've mentioned before. I'll go through them slowly and we'll see how it goes. These are very important statements that our great scholars have said, especially the Urafa. And if you just pay attention to them, it's not difficult. It just, inshallah, I have tried to make it flow into an understanding pattern, inshallah. The essence of what we are, the I, okay, is the immaterial spirit. There's no time, there's no place. And that's the essence of what we are. It's not anything physical or bodily. Our origins are great. Zahiruka lilfana, your external side is to perish. Batinuka, your inner side, ana, it's me. This is Allah saying this. It's me. Our origins are great. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We all want to return to Him. The capacity is there. We all can acquire with awareness, with irfan, we can acquire that unity with Him. It's the immaterial spirit. By definition, the spirit cannot be bodiless. The spirit is always in association with a body. You can't have a spirit that is bodiless. And because of this association with the body, in every realm the spirit is in, traveling towards Allah, be it in this realm and Barzakh, in heaven, and even higher degrees, higher stages of existences. In every realm of existence, since the spirit needs to be in association with the body, in this world, that body is the physical body, and the association with the body starts at 4 months, 4 lunar months approximately, when quickening starts in gestation in the mother's womb. There is the start of the spirit. And the spirit that starts is a result of the evolution of matter. That fetus, that embryo, which has a spirit, but it's a vegetative spirit. Immaterial spirit. Not a rational immaterial spirit. With vegetative spirits, plants have vegetative spirits. It's okay, there's no problem. Or a vegetative soul. There, vegetative souls depend on matter existence-wise. You destroy matter, the vegetative soul will be destroyed, will cease to exist. And the reason is they depend on the matter. And if matter is destroyed, that vegetative soul will be destroyed. It's because vegetative souls are material. That's what being material means in relation to souls. It means if the matter destroys, the existence of that soul will cease. Whereas we are rational, immaterial spirits. And that means by being immaterial, our existence doesn't depend on matter. That's why after physical death, the I still persists, still continues, because it's not dependent on physical matter. Now, but was there a start to our spirit? Yes, there was a start. It was around 4 lunar months in the womb of the mother. Not that when the spirit started, it was actually in. No, it's something immaterial now. It doesn't have any time or place. But the association starts. And where did this spirit arise from the evolution of matter? That embryo evolving at one point, that evolution of the embryo led to the start of that spirit. Now, there are different levels of immateriality. We can eventually acquire unity with the ultimate immaterial entity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It depends on how we grow. But the start was then. In this world, the spirit, we said, always has to be in association with the body. In this world, it's in association with the physical body. In Barzakh, though, in heaven, and in other metaphysical realms where there's no physical matter, the I is still in association with a body, but it's not a physical body. It's a Barzakhi body, or a Mithali body. Mithali means similar, because it shares the physical properties of the physical body. It has size, shape, color, but there's no actual physical matter. It's what you see in your dreams. You see many bodies in your dreams, but there's no matter in your dreams. But those bodies have physical properties. There, in Barzakh, the I is in association now with the Mithali body. And that's who you regard you are, in the same way that I see myself as this, there, it's that body which I'm in association with. In every realm of existence, the I is in association with a body, but that body, its nature, depends on that realm. Only this realm is physical. All succeeding realms are metaphysical. And the difference between the succeeding metaphysical realms are their degree of immateriality. And that's why it's called... Thank you very much, Father. Thank you. Yawmul Akhir. It's an other day. And we said day yesterday. It's another manifestation. It's something else. The laws governing the hereafter are different to the laws governing this world. And that we can see when the traditions speak of the realms of the hereafter. It speaks of you eating whatever you want and you never get full up. You just can't be about eating, drinking. Getting full up is a reality of this world because of our material limitations here. There's no limitations. There's no sleep. See, the laws governing metaphysical realms differ now. So if you regard the hereafter also being physical, which some people do, and it's okay, I'm not attacking them, I'm just giving you another perspective. Okay? If you just regard it as another physical world, well, it's no different to here then. But that's another day, it's another world, something else. Although it's one reality, it's just different manifestations of that reality. This is a physical manifestation, there it's a metaphysical manifestation. The difference is one of deficiency and perfection. Barzakh is much more perfect than this world. This world has limitations to it due to its physical nature. There are limitations to it. Pain is limited, joy is limited. In Barzakh, joy is much more, pain is much more. The dunya, this world, is physical. The rest, all other realms are immaterial, but in varying degrees they're immaterial. The dunya is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas the rest, all other realms succeeding it, is a creation of you. Now we're slowly entering the arguments now. It's all a creation of you. I'm creating my own succeeding realms of existence. You're creating your own, you, everyone, their own. After death, it all starts manifesting. Even those who have preceded before us, they're in their qiyamats now, be it 10,000 years ago, 100,000 years ago, million years ago. And we are in our after we die. But it's all those succeeding realms, barzakh, heaven, hell, whatever, it's a creation of you. You're creating it right now, action to action. And this we want to just open up a bit the next 2 days, inshallah. So barzakh is a product of the soul. All the actions that you do, all the beliefs that you acquire, and they're ingrained and incorporated in your soul and therefore become you, they manifest in barzakh. They're manifesting now, but there's one barrier to seeing it now. The Mithali body is in action now. You're making your Mithali body, the body which the eye will be in association with in barzakh, you're making it now. But since we have the physical body, it acts at, and we have a strong affinity towards the physical body, it prevents us to see our Mithali body. Some people apparently can. From action to action in this world, we're creating the Mithali body. If your actions, your beliefs are good, when they become incorporated in your soul, they become you, that will manifest. It's called Tajassum al-A'mal, the embodiment of actions. That is Barzakh, that will be heaven. But Barzakh is more general. There are 10 or 15 themes that you'll be judged by. Those will be manifested. Salat in general, fasting in general, oppression in general, general things. In Qiyamah, Salat on X day with Y clothing, at Z this, at A this. All the specifics now come into play. Barzakh is just a transit to Qiyamah, for you to be now, to be able to cope with Qiyamah. It's like in the womb, the child undergoes a time in the womb before coming to the real world. Barzakh is like that, so that in preparation for our Qiyamah, in Qiyamah things become much more delicate now. It's not a general manifestation of our actions. Now it goes to the particulars now, much more refined. If you incorporated good actions, you did good actions, you had good beliefs, yes, you will manifest them.
Yes. The barzakh that you are talking, is it the same barzakh that Imam Sadiq said as barzakh al-qabr?
Yes, yes. Yes, yes, exactly, yes, yes. And qabr, the qabr being the Mithali body. But that will be evident during the, yes. So the fuel for the external world is matter, physical matter. The fuel for Barzakh are our actions. Your actions are good. Actions which have been incorporated within you. Sometimes some actions you do for a period of time, then you neglect them. They're just states of your soul. They were temporary. You experienced them for a while. You did X, Y, Z action, but then you left it. They weren't ingrained within you. They weren't fully, firmly incorporated within you. They won't be manifested in Barzakh. Only those that were fully incorporated. Anyway, they will manifest. If you were drowned in animal attributes, then those actions, which are now incorporated within the soul, when they become embodied in the realm of Barzakh, it'll be animals. And that's going to cause a lot of pain to you. In our dreams now, when we see a wolf attacking, we wake up. But there, it's no waking up now. It's a real thing. You will be attacked. By who? Your own actions. Nothing. There's no one outside you. There's no red monster waiting to hit you or whip you. It's all you. It's your actions. And that's why in some traditions, it speaks of focus on animals. Look at animals. See what you can be like. Make sure you don't acquire the attributes of a pig, a dog, a wolf. Look at them. See what you can become one day. That's one of the wisdoms behind the creation of animals. One of the wisdoms. So moment to moment, the Mithali body is evolving. It's here that we say we believe in reincarnation, but not physical reincarnation, that people will be reincarnated in this world. And reincarnation, the philosophers of old, when they used to refer to it, they would refer to this reality, the evolution of the Mithali body. And they used to call it, Ibn Sina and many other philosophers, Monosadra, the celestial reincarnation. تناسخ ملکوتی. Because there, we may be a pig, we may be a dog, we may be a monkey, depending on what our actions were. You are the monkey. The eye is an association with a monkey now, it's you. And that's going to cause a lot of pain. Because the eye isn't a monkey. The eye is something holy. You've put it in association with a monkey, with a dog, because of the embodiment of your actions. See, that's why the Sharia is the number one pivotal prerequisite. That's why, because look, from action to action, you're shaping, evolving the Mithali body. And that's the meaning of reward and punishment. When the Sharia says something is mustahab, it's because with that action, you will be shaping the Mithali body in a positive way. The Sharia says it's mustahab. If the Sharia says it's wajib, you're shaping it in a very important way. It's very good for you. You're saving the eye when you go to Barzakh from any bother, any terror, pain, horror. When the Sharia says this is makruh, it's because if you do it, you'll be shaping the Mithali body in a negative way. Be careful, it's better not to do it. If it's haram, be careful. You're going to be an animal. You see, it's all you shaping the Mithali body. So for example, the Sharia speaks of when you eat, eat slowly. It's mustahab to eat slowly. Okay? Because by eating slowly, you're shaping positively the Mithali body. You're a human and you have to eat like a human. But if you eat very fast, okay, there you're acquiring more and more animalistic tendencies by eating fast, and you'll be shaping the Mithali body in a negative way. In the beginning, you're exposing yourself to be the animal. Eventually, you may be the animal if eating very fast becomes second nature. All these small things in the Sharia, you know, they have these kind of wisdoms behind it, but they're not explained always to us. Or speaking to people. If you're speaking to people, you have to speak very gently with them, with respect. Even if they're younger than you, if they're older, that's even more so. There are some incredible traditions, which really it's one tradition where say, if you sadden someone, intentionally that is, if you sadden them, even if you give them the world, that the whole world, that will not count as kafara, and it won't be rewarded. It won't be regarded as an expiation, an atonement, as a recompensation. Here, when someone saddens someone intentionally, with this tradition saying, it's almost impossible to reshape that Mithali body, because you really behave like an animal by doing that. See, these are the inner, the noble ethical traits that Islam wants us to follow. But some people, you see, they intentionally want to sadden people, intentionally want to get them angry because of their ego and so on and so forth. So, all other succeeding realms outside this physical world are a result of tajassumul a'mal, embodiment of actions. And you are your actions. Now, a few verses where the Quran has verses which imply this reality of tajassum al-a'mal. Chapter 4, verse 10, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ذُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. Those who wrongfully consume the property of orphans, wrongfully, they are ingesting fire in their stomachs. Here, fire is the result, the embodiment, the manifestation of that action. It's not a physical fire. In your dreams, if fire approaches you, out of fear you'll wake up. In Barzakh, there's no waking up, and the fire will burn, and that burning is much more severe than physical burning, because physical fire is limited to the physical laws of nature. It's more immaterial now in Barzakh. It will be more immaterial in hell. There, pain is much worse. But with each sin, the manifestation differs. So Barzakh and Qiyamah, millions and millions of embodiments of actions. You know, if you don't be careful, it can be a horrific scene. You can't even think about it. Some people are scared of horror movies. And the horror movies, you know, it's a 1.5-hour film. When I was young, the horror movie at that time was something on Elm Street, and they had 1, 2, 3, 4. But they were limited. Just think of millions and millions of manifestations of bad actions. And it is you, and stuff outside you, it is you. Chapter 53, verse 39. لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Nothing is man's except that which he has striven for. One's actions. You are your actions. And they will manifest and be embodied in succeeding realms. But you are your actions. You are nothing outside your actions. قَالَ يَا نُوحُ, chapter 11, 46. إنه ليس من أهلك. Your son isn't of your family. Rather, إنه أعمالٌ غير صالح. Your son is non-righteous action. Didn't say the possessor of non-righteous actions. It says your son is non-righteous actions. We are our actions. And this last verse is a very delicate one. Chapter 3, verse 30. Yawma, on the day, and we've explained what day means, on the day where tajidu kullu nafsin ma amilat min khairin muhdara. The day when every soul will be in the presence of the good actions that they have done. Will be in the presence of. It's a huzuri type. Muhdara. It's a huzuri presence. Not like the presence of this before me, but like the presence of my hunger, my disappointment, my sadness, my happiness before me. It's a huzuri presence. Your good actions will be present for every soul. Their good actions will be present before them. It's all you. There's nothing outside you occurring, nothing external to you. وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ, concerning that of your bad actions, in relation to the bad actions that you've done, تَوَدُّ, you would wish, لَوْ أَنَّ, every soul would wish, لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا, they would wish that there's a big distance, a far distance, between themselves and that evil. They would wish. Lo, if only. Lo means if. There are many types of ifs in Arabic grammar. One of them is the impossible if. If only I had wings. You can never have wings. But you say, if only I had wings. You would say, if only there can be this difference, this distance between me and those actions. That's the impossible if. It can't. You can't be distanced from your actions because you are your actions. Those actions, when they're embodied, it is you. You're in association with it. It doesn't make any sense for you to be away from it. It's too late. It's game over now. But they would wish that. إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا مَزَاةُ الْآخِرَةِ, the world is the hereafter's farm. You reap what you sow, but you sow here. The reaping is in all the succeeding realms of existences. Embodiment of our actions. You reap what you sow. The Christians have this too. But you are the farm. Furthermore, you are the farmer. Furthermore, you are the seeds. It's all you. You are your actions, because those actions which have been ingrained within you. It becomes you. Okay, now, then we enter the meaning of the pressure of the grave. What does that mean now? We've spoken about it, I alluded to it very briefly, that there are no iron rods in the grave. And if you open the graves, the body is there, the corpse is there. There's no physical scorpion, no physical snake, no physical iron rods, even though the traditions have spoken about it. But the traditions don't always, and even the verses of the Holy Quran, don't always explain everything metaphysically. If they did, people wouldn't understand it. But they've given codes in different places for us to help to explain some metaphysical truths. Now, if you believe that there will be physical scorpions or snakes or iron rods driven through your body, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. This is another perspective. And both of them are okay in the sense that the severity of Barzakh becomes known to you and you will act in accordance with what you know. So these differences don't have that much of an effect on the end result, but it's good to know these things. What's the pressure of the grave? It can't be a physical pressurizing. And the body is there. You open all the graves in the local graveyard, you'll see the body is there. Nothing else. Here too, the pressure of the grave is referring to the horror, the pain, the terror. That's what the pressure is. Of what? Of the embodiment and manifestation of your actions. You will see the scorpions, the snakes, the monkeys. They were you. All your actions manifesting in that form. It's all your creation. It was all in your hands. You made it in unity with yourself. Just think, if you think you're a scorpion, you think you're a snake, just think of the eye, the horror that will have being in association with such a thing. It's more than just some scorpion attacking you in the physical world. It's much more painful than that. And that's what the pressure of the grave is referring to. It's a resurrection. Resurrection being a form of manifesting. Manifesting of what? One's actions. Now, that scorpion, that snake, depending on the action, is present right now. For some people, it's castles, houris, that. For some people, it's higher. For some people, even higher. All these are existing right now. From action to action, you're shaping it. That Mithali body, the body of the real grave. And a tradition from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where he said, وَإِذَا كَانَ الرَّجُلُ كَافِرًا. If, when a man becomes a kafir, this is the question in relation to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, was what happens on death. He said, if one is a kafir, دَخَلَ عَلَيْهِ, the two will enter upon him. The two meaning Nakir and Munkar, the two angels. وَأُقِيمَ الشَّيْطَان بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ, and Shaitan will be established before him, before his hands. أَيْنَاهُ مِن نُحَاس, and the eyes of the Shaitan are of copper. فَيَقُولَانِ لَا, the two angels will say to the kafir, مَنْ رَبُّكْ وَمَا دِينُكْ, who is your Lord, what is your religion? Now, it'll be evident in a minute. These questions are asked moment to moment right now in this world. مَنْ رَبُّكْ, who is your Lord? وَمَا دِينُكْ, what's your religion? وَمَا تَقُولُ فِي هَذَا الرَّجُلِ الَّذِي خَرَجَ مِنْ بَيْنِ ظَهْرَانِيكُمْ, and what do you say about this entity which has appeared from your back? Being referring to the shaitan. What do you say about this shaitan? The shaitan being a product of his own actions. فَيَقُولُ, the kafir says, لَا أَدْرِي, I don't know. في هذا الرجل الذي خرج من بين ظهرانيكم, that has exited from your back. فيقول لا أدري, the kafir says, I don't know. فيتخليان بينه وبين الشيطان, the two angels then move away, emptying the space between the person and the shaitan. Free that distance between the two. وَيُسَلَّتُ عَلَيْهِ, predominating or conquering over the kafir, في قبره, in his grave. See, this grave now is the Mithali body, is Barzakh. Conquering over, predominating over this kafir, fi qabrihi, in his grave, tis'atun wa tis'una tanina, there'll be 99 predators. Lo anna wahidan minha nafakha ala al-ard, if one of those predators were to breathe on earth, ma anbatat shajaran abada, no tree would ever grow. Were that to happen, it can't happen because that's a barzakhi reality, but it's just showing the severity of it. 99 predators predominate now over him because of his actions. Now, why is it 99? There's some discussion there. Maybe because of the 99 attributes of Allah, if you fail to incorporate them within you and then go the other way around, you know, it may, if the other, the anti-value of those attributes become incorporated within you, then it manifests as predators depending on the attribute. You're now in the presence of 99 predators. You are 99 predators. Sometimes you're being attacked by 99 predators, it's scary, and you run away. But when you are in unity with them, the horror there is incredible. One can't even imagine it. One predator in your dreams, you wake up. But there's no waking up there. Now, the two angels, these are barzakhi realities too. They have color, shape, the two angels. For everyone they manifest, the two angels manifest differently too. We have traditions where Imam Sadiq say they don't manifest. Nakir and Munkar don't manifest. Ala suratin wahida, in the same form. Depends on the person, depends on one's actions. That's the barzakhi reality. But the essence of angels is purely immaterial. That immaterial, placeless, indivisible reality descends in a barzakhi form. Who did the conversion? A bad person, a kafir. And that was the images that one faces. 99 predators. For some, it's good actions. They won't have nakir and munkar. They'll have bashir and mubashir. Not everyone will have them. Sheikh Mufid is following, you know, a few years after the major occultation. He doesn't believe in the physical barzakh. He says Nakir and Munkar is a manifestation of your bad actions being resurrected. Bashir and Mubashir is a manifestation of your good actions being resurrected. And then Faiz Kashani, who people, they usually call him an akhbari, but here it's, the term has been abused somewhat. Even he has said, Inna al-munkara, in relation to munkar, the angel munkar, ibaratun, and it's defined as, Jumlatil a'amalil munkara, التي فعلها الإنسان في الدنيا. Munkar is the collective sum of vicious actions that man has executed in this world. فتمثلت, and then it appears, it becomes apparent. But tamathat, it's, you know, those apparitions. Then those apparitions will become evident fil akhirah, in the hereafter. Apparitions of those actions will appear in the hereafter. Bisuratin munasibatin laha, in a form which is in accordance with those actions. Depending on the actions, the apparitions of those actions, the manifestations of those actions differs. It may be fire, it may be a pig, a dog. Tomorrow we'll speak about what sins, how different sins appear. There are two important traditions. But we'll do that tomorrow. So, even the questioning of the angels is happening right in this world. Man Rabbok Mar Dinok is being asked to each and every one of us from moment to moment. We're all being asked it. And the action that we do at that moment, the collective sum will manifest. Don't say that one day it will happen, the questioning of the angels. No, it's happening right now. There's no point for it, you know, to believe in the questioning of the angels as something which will happen after death, and that's it, having no relevance to this world. That won't help you to elevate yourself. All these articles of faith, questioning of the angels, pressure of the grave, death, barzakh, heaven, raj'at, all these things are happening right now. Just we have to understand them. Not that everything will happen one day. That's just selling one's religion on credit. They say, what's the question of the grave? One day it will happen. What is death? It will happen one day. Heaven, it will happen one day. Everything, it will happen one day. Well, the youth, they have the right to question that. Say, well, what if it's all lies? Because you're just selling them on credit. Who wants to sell on credit? Especially religion. We have to live religion in this world. You reap what you sow. Whatever you acquire in this, what you're taking with you. And then we're really neutralizing religion if we don't explain it properly. But with all articles of faith, all of them, they're all spirituality elevating articles of faith. Every single article of faith has that aim within it. Right now, for us to ascend. And that's the rationale behind divine punishment. Tajassum al-a'mal, embodiment of actions. That's the philosophy of divine punishment. Not that Allah will punish you, you're punishing yourself with your own actions. Allah has nothing to do with you. He has no reason to punish you. There's no reason why Allah should punish you. If you don't do salat, why should Allah? Do you think it's a deficiency for Allah? Do you think He feels threatened? You're corrupting your own soul with those actions, and then those actions will be manifested in bad ways. But you're the director. Nothing to do with Allah. There are some sins which don't affect anyone. For example, if you drink alcohol, it doesn't affect anyone whatsoever. You're not oppressing anyone by drinking alcohol. But still, you're sinning, you're contaminating the soul. And then the manifestation of those actions will appear in a certain way one day. Although the philosophy of divine punishment, there are many theories that would have gone against them. I've spoken about it, you can find it online. Now it's not time. I didn't want to cover that here. Just two things, one from Mullah Sadra and one from Imam Khomeini. See, these are big people, important philosophers and urafa who have simplified deep metaphysical truths for me and you to benefit from. Mullah Sadra said, without doubt, the hereafter's reward and punishment is a result of good or bad actions per se. According to the verses of the Qur'an, whatever one encounters in the hereafter are all manifestations of one's actions. And Imam has said, there is another place that has torture of a nature that we may not comprehend here, that emanates from our actions per se. It's not as if a janitor from the outside will come and torture us. If I can just finish these last two or three traditions of the Ahlul Bayt, just supporting all that I've said for now in the language of the Ahlul Bayt in these traditions. The fact that it's all to do with our actions and we are our actions. إِنَّ مَعَ الدُّنْيَا آخِرَةً. Accompanying the world is the hereafter. Meaning it's one reality but different manifestations, different realms of existence, but it's one reality. وَإِنَّهُ لَابُدَّ لَكَ يَا قَيْسِ مِنْ قَرِينٍ يُدْفَنُ مَعَكَ. This is from the Holy Prophet to one of the companions called Qais. It's inevitable, Qais, that you will be buried with company, a friend. A friend will be buried with you. وَهُوَ حَيٌّ. And that friend is living. وَتُدْفَنُ. And you will be buried with it. وَأَنْتَ مَيِّتْ. Whilst you're dead, physically. فَإِنْ كَانَ كَرِيمًا أَكْرَمَكْ. If your friend is Kareem, your friend will dignify you in the hereafter. وَإِنْ كَانَ لَعِيمًا أَسْلَمَكْ. If your friend is wretched, your friend will make you submit, meaning make you submit to hell. حَتَّى لَا يُحْشَرَ إِلَّا مَعَكْ. To the extent that it will be resurrected only save with you. It will be resurrected with you alone. وَتُبْعَثُ. And you will be resurrected إِلَّا مَعَا. You'll be resurrected with your friend. وَلَا تُسْأَلَ إِلَّا أَن. And you won't be questioned save in relation to the friend. See, it's all about the friend. فَلَا تَجْعَلْهُ إِلَّا صَالِحًا. So make it to be but righteous. فَإِنْ سَلُهَا أَنِسْتَ بِهِ. If it's righteous, you will be at ease with it. وَإِنْ فَسَدَ. But if it's corrupt, لَأَتَسْتَوْهِشُ إِلَّا مِنْ. You'll just want to be away from it out of fear. وَهُوَ. And he, your friend, is فِئِلُك. It's your actions. You see? It's all to do with your actions. You'll be resurrected with them. You're in unity with your actions. Your actions are a product of you. Your actions will be all succeeding realms of existences. Yours will be for you, yours will be for you, yours will be for everyone. Now, some people have the power to transcend different people's realms of existence. That's a different subject. I haven't talked about that yet. It's possible, though. Someone asked the Holy Prophet, where are we all going? You know, what does life mean here on this world? Where are we all going? What's it all for? And he said, إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ تُرَدُّ إِلَيْكُمْ. It's your actions you're returning to. It's your actions. Everyone is going towards one's actions. But what were those actions? Was it hell? Heaven? But we're going where our actions will make for us. And we did it. And finally, إِذَا وُضِعَ الْمَيِّتْ. When the corpse is placed فِي قَبْرِهِ. In the grave. مُثِّلَ لَهُ شَخْصٌ. An individual will appear before it. مُثِّلَ. This appearance is an apparition. Something we'll speak in more detail in 2 days' time. وَقَالَ لَهُ يَا هَذَا. The entity, the individual, will say to the person who's just passed away, O you, إِنَّا كُنَّا ثَلَاثَ. We were three once upon a time. كَانَ رِزْقَكَ فَانْقَتَعَ بِنْقِتَاءِ أَجْلِكَ. One was your sustenance, where it ended when your lifespan ended. What you've earned in this world, the property, your wealth, and so on and so forth, all that now is separated from you. That stopped once your lifespan, your ajal, you died. بِنْقِتَاءِ أَجَلِكَ. وَكَانَ أَهْلَكَ فَخُلِّقُوكَ وَانْسَلَفُوا عَنْكَ. The second one was your family, your wife, your children, On your dying, they also have become separated from you. They've left you alone. When you die, now you're away from your children. In Barzakh, in heaven, it's all you and your actions now. Not that you don't have children, you don't have parents, you don't have people in Barzakh and heaven. It depends on your affinity with them in this world, how it was ingrained in your soul. But anyway, in the physical world, it's all over. وَكُنْتُ أَمَلَكَ And I am the third. I am your actions. فَبَغَيْتُ مَأَكَ And I will remain with you. أَمَا إِنِّي كُنْتُ أَهْوَنَ الثَّلَاثَ عَلَيْكَ However, I was the most inferior in your eyes. You didn't pay much attention to actions in this world. It was either your wealth or your family. But from Barzakh onwards, it's only the embodiment of one's actions. And there you fell short. And it's too late. There's no wealth now, and there's no family. It's all a question of tajassum al-a'mal, embodiment of your actions. And finally, Rumi has this poem in Mathnavi. I'll just read this too, and then it's finished. Rumi's, you know, he's a strong Sufi, a Shia Sufi. Very, very strong. I mean, his works are serious. It's definitely worthy to teach our children Rumi. For someone who knows Rumi, I don't. Unfortunately, I wasn't brought up with these poems. And my Farsi was always weak. Unfortunately, I didn't have access to it. But if we can really teach the teachings of Rumi, because it's all Quran, it's all traditions of the Ahlul Bayt, but in a simple language, simple stories that children can understand. And then sometimes very high, deep metaphysical truths can be taught to our children in a very simple language. But he's someone important. In one of his poems, I'll just read the Farsi too. I know there may be no Iranians here, but give him the justice of just reading the poem. He said, Hafduzach chist a'mal badat hasht jannat chist a'mal khushat What are the seven levels of hell? They're your bad actions. What are the eight levels of heaven? They're your good actions. See, in one couplet, in one verse, he summarized everything I've said in the past 1 hour. You see? Hashrito barsurate a'amal tost. هرچه بینی نیک و بد احوال توست Your resurrection accords with your actions Whatever you see, good or bad are tantamount to your states states of the soul جمله اخلاق و اوصاف ای پسر هر زمان گردد ممثل در صور O son, all attributes and dispositions in every realm of time will manifest in forms. Here he uses the word momathal. It's a tamathol. Visions, apparitions, manifestations, the embodiment of those actions, which I'll speak about in 2 days' time. Lale o gulha o rehan o saman jumle ta'atand و اخلاق پسند tulips, flowers, basil, yasmin you know, the heavenly rewards all these are acts of worship and pleasant actions manifesting in such ways the heavenly garden direct result of your actions حور و غلمان جملگی اوصاف توست مهر و مه روحت و قلب صاف توست Huris, Qilman, all these are your attributes. The sun and moon is your spirit and pure heart. جوی خمر و جوی آب و جوی شیر نیست جز اوصاف پاک دلپذیر. Streams of wine, water and milk are nothing but pure, delightful attributes. You see? تجسم الاعمال, embodiment of one's actions. You acquire them, you incorporate them, you are your actions, and it will all be manifested in the mithali body in succeeding realms of existences. Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.